thanks everyone for bearing with us here. We've got lots going on today. So I'm Jenny McGraw. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I teach at Grant MacEwan University. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about some of our pedagogical practices that we use in our program around creative arts and activity. I'm a firm believer that activity is the way to get there with children, youth, and families. From my own practice experience, I would say 99% of my effective interventions in some way, shape, or form involved activity. And when I moved to education, I was very keen on how could we do that in the classroom in a really practical way. Because if I'm talking about activity being important, and I have students resistant to that, they're not going to buy into it being effective unless they see the value in it. We do a lot of different things in our program, but this is my niece here, just learning to walk. And you can see she's got a bit of a petrified look on her face there, but she's quite an active little thing now. But these are some of my early experiences with activity. I think I grew up very much being an active child, and I really appreciated the presentation this morning about being outdoors and play. And I did grow up in a community where I could go far and wide from my neighborhood, and I think it was integral to a lot of our early experiences, being able to leave in the morning and be home by dark. That was our rule. We had to be home by dark. So. But I was very actively involved in guiding growing up and spent many a time in a tent with strangers and friends, and always left the tent with new friends at the end of the camping experiences. So I've done a lot of that kind of thing. I put these up for some of the Waypoint staff, because this is actually a hike that I took, and this man here is actually here. with us now. So this is just one of the hikes that we did in practice. As you can see, Newfoundland coast is much like coast here, and we had lots of good opportunities to get outside with kids. I just listed some of the things there I think that activity brings, which I think are obvious, but not always obvious, because I get a lot of resistance from students about activity and thinking that it's not an effective intervention. And I often hear students coming back from placement experiences and their staff saying things like, well, we're not here to entertain the kids, or why would you ever do that with kids? Why would you play cards, or why would you do this, or why would you do that? And not having any ideas of even how to do that. So we give lots of practical examples of, you know, the real being in the moment with kids, then really challenging our students to critically reflect on what that means, and then really putting it into some practice. So there's lots of goals. I'm not going to get into that. I'd rather spend more time telling you what we actually do, because I think that's much more interesting. And all of this stuff will be on the slides. But in our program, we really believe that doing with our students is how they engage in the material, and they believe in the value of it. So that moved a little bit, but these are just examples. So we're a 4-year bachelor's degree program, but the first 2 days of our program for first and second year students is an overnight retreat, where we take our students to a place called Camp Hee-Ho-Ha, which is short for Health, Hope, and Happiness. And we do things like team-building activities and campfire at night. We eat together. They sleep in cabins and bunks. Faculty are there very much participating. There's faculty on the floor here right now, actually, in this group. So for us, this is integral to when our students go into the classroom day one, they show up differently than they would have before, because a lot of those barriers are already broken down and they've made friends. You should see them. We bust them out and they are petrified, much like my niece looked at the beginning, holding their sleeping bags tight and are trying to figure out some way, can I get out of this? I don't want to go on this camping trip, and they must be insane in this program. But they leave, the bus trip out is often quiet, and the bus trip back is much chaotic because they're really engaged with each other. And I think at any significant moments throughout our degree, we have a diploma exit at year two, so we have a little graduation ceremony and party. And at our four-year end, this is the thing that gets talked about most in our program, of how significant it was to their experiences. This is me making my way through an underground tunnel with my students. I take all of my students in an activity programming class in first year. The week after they get back from retreat, I do this, and we're there for the full day. And there's things like personal initiatives, like an underground tunnel. That is, some students cry their way through it, you know. And I don't force anybody to do the underground tunnel, but we really do encourage them. And I take second-year students with me to facilitate some of those hard challenges. And you often get a second-year student say, somebody helped me do it last year, let me get you through it. And I had several students this year who guide, or every year, who guide through nervous second years to get through that experience. And they often come out crying. You get others who dive in the underground and are happy to go. But there's also group initiatives out there where students, like one is whale watching, so they all have to get up on this raised platform that's on an axis and balance it, rotate around, and all get off without hitting any of the four corners. So there's a lot of that teamwork building and self stuff that comes out in that. And as you can see, I don't teach by saying go do, let's do. You know, I do everything that I expect them to do. This is another one of my classes where we do a plaster face mask. I've used them in practice for probably 20 years now. And I think it's one of the most significant activities you can do with kids. It builds trust and lots of other things. So they each have a partner and they do the mask. This would be the first class and this would be the second class. So it's two full classes. And the assignment that's attached, this actually is an assignment. So the outside represents their professional identity. Who am I in this work? Who am I going to be in this work? As a first-year student, trying to articulate that. And then the reverse of it is self-care. How am I going to take care of myself in this work? And then they present that. They write it up as a paper and present it to the class. And it very clearly shows the difference. You can see the wide range. No two masks ever look anything alike. And it's, I think, the first realization that they get that we have to be unique in our practice. We all can't look the same. And we have to find out our own unique ways to take care of ourselves in our practice. And we do different things, as you'll see in some other examples, that they build on these concepts as we move through year to year. And the mask often shows up in future assignments as, when I was a first-year student, this is what I thought. And now that I know more, this is what I think. So, but it's a fun assignment. We do a lot of creative journaling in different courses, but this would be in a second-year class. And I really like the example that you can read there on the side. But as part of our first-year retreat, second-year students plan it, facilitate it. We're basically there to participate and offer support and guidance, but the second-year students really do all the planning. And it's the first introduction our students get to what praxis is. And we don't describe it. The students describe it through this assignment that they do in first at the end of their first year. It's one of their last assignments. So a few of them present that assignment as part of the retreat. So this girl she was a dancer and had all of her dance shoes across her career of dance and talked about how in the beginning I was very clumsy and my shoes were awkward and on and on. And with a little bit more training and guidance, my moves got a bit more fluid and I started to look good and I felt more comfortable. And then as I got more training and more support, my shoes got fancier, my work got fancier, and then I was starting to do more complex choreography. And then as I moved further again, I started to develop my own choreography and I was able to start to teach and support other people in their development of dance. And she saw that as being much like child and youth care. So they find creative ways to navigate that. This is a really interesting assignment. I could tell you which students these are. They actually create a bottle replica of themselves. And they literally look like my students. And then they have to develop a book. You can see they're bound books here that tell a story. It's a third-year class where they learn different theoretical concepts. So they have to then position their bottle in a picture that represents what that theory means and give a little synopsis of this is what the theory means and this is how I see it as a practitioner. So me, the bottle, this is how I... So one about ethics, for example, you often get pictures of a fork in the road and the bottle's at this fork, and which side do I go? Which road do I take? And then they have to do a showcase to the wider university. It's not an in-class showcase. We do a lot of presentations where it's an invitation just to the university community, and it's done in a general area. So you might get people coming and going from all different programs to see, and we always get lots of groups showing up. It's quite an interesting one. And they, in the showcase, they show their books, they talk about their experiences and what all of that looks like, and then answer questions based on that. So that this is the main assignment in that class. They have lots of little ones, but and this is a fourth year because we're a bachelor's program, but our students actually do research as part of their research course. And we do some internal ethics stuff. We have an internal ethics board that's approved through our bigger ethics board of just our own faculty. So our students have to do an ethics proposal to a panel of four faculty, and then we guide them in the research. Then they go out and do, it's usually research that's done within our programs across years, so things about voice or ethics. But sometimes we'll let them do some stuff in their placements if their placements are in agreement. And then they do an actual poster of their research findings, again in a showcase format, so people will come from all different programs and ask them questions about the research. So these are our students on that research day, and it's one of our last things. The bottle assignment and the research assignment is often done simultaneously, one after the other, and people get to ask lots of questions. And then for the last 2 years, we've been taking students to Ireland on an international study tour as part of our third year, one of our third year classes. So they attend classes at a college in Athlone, and they go to agencies in Dublin and Belfast, and then lots of cultural historical things like signing the peace wall in Belfast. And very life-altering experience for our students, and I would say for faculty as well. So lots of assessment examples that we use, but you know, mainly because the challenge is a lot of people say, well, how do you assess activity? But I think we've gotten really creative in how we do that. And we do still do traditional assessments, but every year we're trying to increase more ways to use activity-based assessment, because we think it's significant to the learning. And like our students keep their masks, they keep their books from, and they refer back to it constantly. And they say, I'd have this forgotten now if I wrote a paper on it, but they keep coming back to that. So the big thing of why do it, because there's lots of resistance, I think, to this type. It's a lot of work for instructors, for sure. And it can be a challenge for students. So part of the work for instructors is selling the methodology to the students of why it's valuable. Once they get through it, they get it. And then we believe, because they learn so much from the process, they're more likely to engage in practice with those types of methods. And we see that in their placements, and we hear it from the agencies, that it's a really useful strategy for teaching. And I would think our students are showing up really well in practice as a result. So that's it. And I do have a little handout there if people want to pick it up. that has a bit more information. Yep, I'm good.
Yes. How do we sign up for your classes?
Go to Grant McEwen University. Yeah. No, they're fun classes. It makes teaching fun.
Do you have to sell it to your university as well?
No, we have a lot of support. A lot of support within our dean is fabulous, and we tell her, you know, she comes to all these showcases. Mm-hmm. Our dean is at every showcase, and she goes to every single student and asks them questions about their work. So, yeah.
Hi, I just want to ask about sort of tutorial support, because I'm conscious that using creative arts is a very powerful medium, and often lots of kind of unconscious experiences are expressed and can be a surprise to the person. How are students supported?
That's a very good point. We have a very, very strong relationship with our counseling department on site, on campus. We have four campuses, and there's counseling in all four, like on site in all four campuses. And if we're doing something that we think, even if it's watching a really intense video in class, our counselor knows that we're doing this today, so be prepared that students may show up, that we have that relationship. So, yeah.
Thanks, Jenny. That was really inspirational. Is your course unique in the Canadian context, or is this something that's kind of engaged in other universities?
We would think it's unique.
Right.
Yeah, we would think that a lot of it is unique. I don't think it's fully unique, but I think some of the assessment tools we're using, I would say, are unique.
Yeah, it's just struck me seeing that, and that it's got strong sort of parallels with the social pedagogic approach in Europe, and it demonstrates the importance of these events so that we can start to link up and realize the connections.
Well, interesting, the bottle assignment... Gerard, who's one of our faculty, I think it was when he was visiting Denmark, saw something similar, and then, why can't we do something like that? It doesn't look exactly, but we've done a bit of international travel, visiting different sites, and have been bringing back ideas into that. Because these are not all my, I don't teach the research course, I don't teach the bottle assignment course. The creative journaling is another instructor. Our whole team, this is one of our, I think, approaches within our program now. So we all believe in it.